It is a hot, disgusting, humid Wednesday afternoon in New York City. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. The Mets are in action at Citi Field in about 3 hours. Mets against the Washington Nationals. The Yankees are going to try to get their winning ways turned around, or the losing ways turned into winning, as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays. Real quick, we'll get back to your phone calls. A lot discussed so far on the show today. Carlos Rodon not being able to pitch in New York City. What to do with a pastrami sandwich when, you know, like you're stuffed, but you're out of ballpark, and do you waste it or do you bring it home? And obviously a lot of talk around Saquon Barkley and Joe Shane. But last night, and I didn't see it, but I did think it was very cool. SNY, hello SNY. They had Daniel Murphy in the booth. Hmm. And this is just me, and maybe it's a me thing, because it involved me and it involved Beningo. Whenever I think of Daniel Murphy and I think of Gary Cohen, I think of a moment that occurred on our radio show back in 2015. So Gary Cohen is, of course, the broadcaster. Great guy. We had him on a couple of weeks ago. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I love about Gary Cohen is he has an opinion. He does.
Right.
Sometimes
it's rare for a lot of play-by-play guys.
You don't get it a lot.
Right, you don't get it a ton.
And you see, it's part of why it is such a great broadcast. Because Gary Cohen, as a broadcaster, will tell you, I don't know why that managerial move was made. Like, he'll tell you how he thinks. And so back in 2015, in the midst of the Mets postseason run, Gary came on with Joe and I. And Joe and I asked him about the impending free agency of one Daniel Murphy. Now, just for full disclosure, Joe was, you got to keep this guy. What are we doing? Big keep Daniel Murphy guy. I was more, I'd like to keep Daniel Murphy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ben Zobrist is pretty good. Right. Like, there are other options.
There's an alternative that you'd feel comfortable with, even more comfortable with.
1,000%.
Okay.
So Gary Cohen was on our show, and this was before he went on the complete tirade in the postseason. Like, he was playing well, but it wasn't the complete tirade. And Joe and I asked Gary Cohen, would you re-sign Daniel Murphy? And Gary Cohen called him something that I still can't get out of my mind. He called him this.
He's a nice hitter, and he's hit some home runs lately, but he's not a high on base percentage guy. He's not a big power hitter. He's a good hitter. A good hitter. He's a good sixth or seventh hitter in a good lineup. That's what he is. And he hurts you so badly in the field and on the bases and all the craziness. I think it's time to move. Look, Murphy's a lovable guy, and he's, you know, but I think he's a net negative, and I've always felt that way. I don't think knowing Sandy Alderson and his view of the situation, I don't think there's any chance they resign.
Now,
net negative.
Net negative. And that's the line that stuck. That was the line that became the news story. Gary Cohen says Daniel Murphy is a net negative. And again, I love Gary. And part of what I love about him is that he would offer that opinion.
Right. Did Murph respond at all?
He responded by hitting 100 home runs in the postseason.
Right, but I know that. But
signing
with
the Nationals and then destroying our souls.
But did he respond to that comment?
I don't think so.
He just went and played.
He went and played.
Yeah, like, he didn't fall for the radio bit.
Yeah. And that's not a bit, though. That's an opinion.
Yeah.
Like, Gary Cohen is certainly not
bits.
A guy.
They're all bits. It's entertainment.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I think he's a net negative.
So the net negative line kind of became famous. And it's not Gary's fault. He's not Sandy Alderson. He didn't decide not to re-sign Daniel Murphy. Mm-hmm. But as we know, Daniel Murphy went to the Nationals, and he destroyed our souls.
Yes.
He was unbelievable. He became a player that I will raise my hand and tell you I never thought he was going to become. Okay? I was stunned what he did for the Nationals. And so, okay, kind of a story that lives in Met history. Net negative.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Murphy's a net negative. So now Daniel Murphy is in the SNY booth. I ask you, because I'm on the other side. I'm the Gary Cohen guy, right?
Right.
I'm the guy on the radio giving opinions. Carlos Rodon can't pitch in New York. Tiki Barber, I don't even know what I said about you. Probably nothing terrible.
It's probably true at the time.
Probably. Mm. If you're Daniel Murphy, is there any point before you get in the booth with Gary where you look at him and you say, net negative?
Well, the reason he could do that and it would be light is because he went and raked someplace else.
Right.
And he was great. And so there was no truth to it. You know what I mean?
He got the last laugh.
Right. What Gary said proved to be wrong.
Net negative.
So if somebody says something about you and they're wrong, then they have no power over you. Now, if they say something and they're right, then it kind of lingers and sits there, and then it becomes awkward.
Interesting.
But because he was wrong, it's like, all right, whatever. It's just words that came out of my mouth. They don't mean anything.
So for him, if that was you, it'd be more like, how hilariously dumb was
I'm
that?
I'm a net negative, huh?
Net negative.
Now, I didn't see the broadcast last night. I was at the game, and I know they did a few spring training games. Has Daniel Murphy ever spiked the football with a net negative comment? Because if he hasn't, he should, just because it's funny. And Gary's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, of course.
I think.
Well, I think Gary would say, I was wrong.
You got me
on. Seriously, just like you just said, I was wrong about Daniel Murphy.
Oh, I was wrong about that. See, and this is the funny thing about sports talk radio. Sometimes, and I'm seeing this with Lugie and Morash, the last couple of weeks, Tommy Lugauer has gone to one extreme on the New York Mets.
Yep.
He's Mr. Positive. Cool. Sean Morash, even on vacation, has gone to the other extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, OMG has ruined their world.
Right. It's an election year.
And Lugie thinks the Mets are a championship team. Sean thinks they're going to lose 100 games. Now, the reality is, both of these guys are idiots. Like, they're both wrong.
Well, I don't know why you have to resort to name-calling.
Lovable idiots. So, Gary Cohen's opinion at the time of him being a net negative, I completely disagreed with. Joe's opinion that we can't lose Daniel Murphy, oh my God.
He was right.
He turned out to be right 100%.
100%.
I thought he was crazy. I was more like, he's a nice player. I'd like to have him back in the right circumstances.
What Gary said, most of what Gary said was that. He's a nice player. He does this, it does that. He's not a good fielder, but you know, he does this. He has all these other things that maybe we're just not privy to. But he just said, it's a net negative.
Net negative.
It was almost like Gary was using analytics before analytics. A lot of the stuff he said about Murph is accurate. He wasn't great in the field. He wasn't good on the base path. So it was like analytics before analytics.
What
year was that?
This was in the middle of the run in 2015.
Yeah. Analytics had started to become... It wasn't as mainstream as it is now.
Oh no, it was a part of the game.
It was a part of it, but you couldn't. There was no fan graph.
I mean, Sandy's the father of it, basically.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
Right.
So you're telling me, as the athlete, no awkwardness.
Only because he went and was great.
But if Gary turned out to be right, then it would be awkward.
Then it would be awkward.
Interesting.
But if he turned out to be right, Murph is probably not in the broadcast booth.
Oh no, I think he is because
really?
I think that. Think about it. Daniel Murphy's Met career ended. Essentially weeks after Gary made that comment. He had the great postseason. He was a Met. He left and went elsewhere. What he did in Washington only hurt the way we would think of him.
Yeah.
Because he killed us.
I see.
Like, he literally
So he was good enough here that he's part of the conversation.
Yeah, I don't think what he did in Washington for the brief amount of time where he was this MVP candidate really changes what we think of him. It changes what we think of Sandy Alderson.
Mm.
It definitely changes what we think of what the Mets did and how they... didn't respond after winning the pennant in 2015. But I don't think it changes our view on Daniel Murphy. Daniel Murphy's postseason run was so legendary that his Met resume was set.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. I mean, think about it. He went to a division rival and tortured us, and he was fine.
And he's still viewed as one of the Mets.
Yeah, he's a beloved Met. He's in the SNY booth.
Right.
Hanging out. Well, tonight I'm not going to the game. And I think
he's there too?
I think he's doing the game tonight, right? Is Murph doing the whole couple of days?
Why don't you write Gary and ask him to bring it up?
Yeah. I don't have his number, first of all. Gary's not dumb enough. He's not giving me his number. By the way, real quick, before we get back to your calls, I have made contact with my friend who I went to the game with last night.
Nice.
And I asked him, would you have wanted my sandwich if I didn't take it home?
I bet he
I'll give him some of my meat.
I bet he said I would have eaten it.
He said, I wouldn't. This is the way he phrased it. Quote, I would not have wanted your half-eaten sandwich.
Mm.
You're special. I'll tell you that.
How am I special?
Because
he's the one who said it.
No, you're always doing sports talk radio. The way you phrase the question.
Yeah.
Now it's the sandwich you took home. Perhaps you gave it to your son. Perhaps you gave it to your wife.
No, I ate
it. Can you just not have to position every question so it favors you?
Well, how did I position the question to favor me?
Just say, would you have wanted to eat the pastrami? He would have said, of course I would have.
No, here's exactly what I said to him. We're talking about the pastrami sandwich on the radio.
Yes.
Would you have wanted it instead of me taking it home? That was the question.
Well, I mean, by saying instead of me taking it home, it just implies that you wanted to eat it.
Well, I did want to eat it.
Therefore, he's going to say, no, I didn't want your sandwich because that's your sandwich that I bought for you.
Well, I took that answer as you ate half of it. I don't want the other half of your sandwich. Well, what, are we married?
True.
You don't have cooties, dude. Let's relax.
By
the
way,
it's not a big deal.
Over 1,000 votes, take it home is running away.
Mm.
54%. 36% throw it out, 10% give it to somebody.
I object to the poll.
Dude, I destroyed it.
I object to the poll because you didn't put in there, just eat it.
Oh, God.
Just eat the damn thing.
Just eat the damn thing?
Yes.
You want me to reposition the poll?
No, you can't.
It's over now?
It's already voted. Not a thousand more people aren't going to vote.
It is an election year.
We can't do re-election elections? Let's go to Scott, who's calling from Orange, Connecticut. How you doing today, Scott?
Good. How you doing, guys?
All's good, man.
What's up?
Big fan, love the show. I just want to know, maybe Evan, did you have like a secondary purpose for this sandwich? I don't know if you understand the reference, but the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza wanted to combine two of his favorite things, which is being intimate with his fiance and a quality sandwich. He said that pastrami was the most sensual meat, so I don't know where you're going.
That's an old reference.
If I didn't have...
By the way, Friends is on Netflix, so you can find all the episodes.
Well, that's Seinfeld, though.
Oh, Seinfeld's on that show. Right. That's what I meant. I meant Seinfeld is on Netflix.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Interesting. If I didn't have two children, one of which still sleeps in our bed, maybe this would be a conversation. But otherwise, it is not.
All right. So you ate your sandwich at the kitchen table.
I ate it on my lounger. I got home. I put on... You know what I put on last night?
What time did you get home?
I got home at about 10:45.
So you get home at 11 o'clock, you go sit on your lounge, you get another bottle of water, and you eat a pastrami sandwich.
That is correct.
And watch whatever you're watching.
I actually watched something I have never watched before, or I very rarely have watched. I watched NXT Wrestling, because Lugie was telling me, Dennis was telling me, you got to see the ending of this championship match from Sunday. I was like, all right, fine. So I rewatched this.
NXT?
Thing. So NXT is like the minor leagues of WWE. It's like another brand that they have, and it's like the minor league. So yeah. I went back and watched the main event of their event they had on Sunday, and then I watched the ending to their show on Tuesday night. Apparently, people love this Joe Hendry guy. I don't know who he is, but it's weird. Like, he's like a model or something, and he turns around dramatically into the camera, and he smiles, and he's a pro wrestler.
I'm
fascinated.
I've been big on Joe Hendry forever when he was in TNA. I knew he'd be a big star in WWE because he's got a catchy gimmick. He does, I believe in Joe Hendry.
Oh, that's what they were singing?
Yeah, so he's got a catchy theme song. He's got a good gimmick. Okay. I knew he'd be a big hit here.
You sound like LeBron James and Mike Francesa.
When is he going to make it to WWE?
Well, he's already in WWE in a sense that he's in NXT.
When's he
going
to be on the main thing?
Yeah, will he ever get to the main show?
I think so. I don't know what his contract situation is either, because they have guys from TNA now on NXT, so right. I don't know if they're actually signed to WWE, but he's going to be a big star.
And then after I was done watching that,
have to go to a match.
There you go. After I was done with that, I started flipping between cable news, because I wanted to see what they had to say about, our situation. the situation of, my God, we could vote for that guy, or, oh, my God, we could vote for that guy.
Oh, you mean with everybody telling him to drop out?
Yeah, well, both. Right. I like watching both. Right. I like to see what they're saying about Trump, what they're saying about Biden, and then I laugh at everybody because they're dumb. That's what I do. That's my fun thing. And by dumb, I don't mean everybody like Americans, the cable news talking heads, because they're all like given things to say, and they repeat the same crap, and it's actually become comedy to me now. Like, I don't even get mad. I'm just like, oh, my God. He's really saying that. Okay. Anyhow, so that's how I spent my Tuesday night. How about you, Teague?
I did nothing.
What do you mean you did nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
You just like...
Tracy was out with her girlfriends. I was just sitting at home.
Did you read?
Doing a crossword puzzle, watching sports.
Okay.
This guy was the British senior champion.
Who are we talking about?
Gold medalist. Joe Hendry.
Oh, the Joe Hendry guy?
Got me down a rabbit hole on Joe Hendry. I'm wondering when he's coming up to the actual WWE, and if he's worth calling up my buddy Tessitore and seeing if we can get some ringside seats.
Joe Tessitore, you heard about that?
Of course I heard about that.
Joe Tessitore, the college football announcer.
Yes.
Tessitore.
Yes.
Is now a WWE announcer.
I wrote him. And he's doing congrats. That's awesome. He said, come to a match.
What is he doing? Is he doing Raw or SmackDown?
I did not ask him that detail.
Well, good for
I'll
him.
I'll find out.
Now, he is still doing college football, for everybody who's concerned about that. Anyhow, who had Joe Hendry talk on the Evan and Tiki bingo card?
There goes Tiki. There goes
it's not
Tiki
my fault. You guys are raving about this beautiful Scottish wrestler from NXT.
Yeah, good-looking man.
He is a good-looking man.
I'll be the first to tell you. Let's go to Jamie in Brooklyn. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, guys. First of all, I'm the guy that kind of coined the phrase L. Embiid is a Richard Weed.
Very nice.
Good to talk to you.
Nice.
And it was important. I asked the question that they did about Tommy DeVito, how he was an eye blink from being 4-2.
Yeah.
And will they carry a third quarterback, or will they, even on a practice squad, unprotected? That's number one. Number two, about Saquon, real brief. I'd like to really hear about Tommy, though, because I missed it that day because we went into the deep thing about Alan Bede.
Yeah, so, well, yeah. I mean, it's interesting with Tommy because he's in a tough spot because he's got, I think, a fan, like, favorite to him, mm-hmm. like, favoriteness about him.
No question. Right,
and it's... And I mean, he still does events. It was
Tommy DeVito still doing public events.
Yeah, he did a public event like 2 weeks ago, and people love him because he's Tommy DeVito. He feels like the everyman in New Jersey, and people want to be around him. And he's cool as hell.
Yeah,
but like, where is he sitting on this team right now? Because he's behind Daniel Jones, obviously, and Drew Locke, and they've just brought in another quarterback as well. I forget what his name is now. But there's like four quarterbacks on this roster, so he's going to be in a competition just to be the third quarterback.
Tommy DeVito, and don't take this the wrong way, it's the situation that I say this, not my fandom. Yeah. Tommy DeVito needs to be a New York Jet and not a New York Giant. I want you to hear me out on why.
Hmm.
Because Tommy DeVito, and you just hit on it.
Nathan Rourke, by the way.
Nathan Rourke. O'Rourke. Isn't it O'Rourke?
I think it's Rourke.
No. Okay. Tommy DeVito is a star.
Right? Yes.
He's a star.
Yes.
Okay, and it doesn't mean he's...
Not like a superstar player.
No.
He's a star. He's known.
Okay.
Well, good-looking dude.
Star.
Right.
He does events. People
yes.
know who he is.
Yes.
And what will happen naturally if Daniel Jones struggles and or is hurt, which, by the way, on the table. Drew Locke. I mean, stop. Giant fans will immediately call for Tommy DeVito.
They're going to want Tommy.
This will be a thing.
Because he won some games last year.
And... He's a hope. You don't have the future quarterback on your roster in all likelihood. Daniel Jones is likely going to be replaced next year. Likely. I know there are scenarios where that doesn't happen, but I think you'd even admit as a Jones supporter, it is likely he's not on this team
unless
next
he's
year.
Great.
There you go. Drew Locke, likely not long-term answer here.
Mm-hmm.
So it is likely that at some point this season, New York Giant fans will call up this radio station and they will chant at MetLife Stadium for Tommy DeVito. That is a distraction. That's why he doesn't fit the Giants. Now let's go to the Jets. The New York Jets have two quarterbacks ahead of them that nobody in their right mind, specifically with one, is going to call up this radio station and say Tommy should start over. Aaron Rodgers is the guy. Period. Stop. Conversation over.
Yes.
Tommy DeVito can use that as a way to work, as a way to learn, as a way for him to not be a distraction. And by the way, if God forbid Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, Tommy DeVito's the backup.
Yep.
Tyrod Taylor gets hurt. Here comes Tommy. He can play. There's an avenue where he plays for the New York Jets, but is never the distraction that he's going to be with the New York Giants. And that is why, even though it will never happen, and I'm not suggesting it would, but using everything I laid out, which I think is irrefutable.
The Giants suck.
Indisputable.
Indisputable.
Yep. Thank you.
Tommy DeVito just makes more sense New York Jet than a New York
he
Jet.
He does. It's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
But you're right. In theory, you're right. But I think in practice, if Tommy DeVito has a great training camp, and I'm assuming he's going to play a lot.
Because Daniel Jones is
likely not to be fully ready. I mean, I'd be interested to see how they manage Daniel Jones in camp, which is only a couple weeks away. But, I mean, Drew Locke's going to play a little bit. But Tommy DeVito's the next guy up. So I think he's going to play a lot. Now, if he acquits himself well, he's going to be here. Right? And we already know that he can handle the moments and the situations and playing in Giant Stadium or whatever it is, MetLife Field, and he's not overwhelmed by it. So he's got a good chance, but he's also got a lot of work to do. Like, he's got to be good. He can't afford to just have a bad camp.
But he is such a persona that even if he doesn't have this great camp, if Jones struggles and or hurt, same with Drew Locke.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. And I could hear it right now. I'll be taking those phone calls. You'll be hearing it from Giant fans you meet in the streets. Why not DeVito? Why not Tommy? Why not DeVito? That wouldn't happen with the Jets unless something happened to Aaron Rodgers, obviously. But that's the protection he would have if he was a Jet. But look, sometimes things make sense and they just don't happen.
Right.
You know? It's like Brandon and Kelly in 90210.
It made so much sense
and they just wouldn't pull the trigger on it.
I'm a loser.
I never understood why. They kept going back to Dylan and Kelly.
I'm a loser.
Like, Dylan and Kelly never made any sense.
I'm a loser.
But whatever. It is what it is. I haven't rewatched 90210 in a long time, but based on that caller from earlier, I think I'm due to rewatch Seinfeld. I have not rewatched Seinfeld in, I would say, like 12 years. And I feel like a show like that, first of all, much more rewatchable, those 30-minute comedies, 25-minute comedies. I think 12 years is a good period of time where it's like, you know what? Let me rewatch it.
I'm back,
you,
baby!
You still get it. Like, a younger audience won't understand it.
Yeah.
It won't make sense to them.
Because we'll
it's a different New York.
That's right.
But we will. I mean, remember it.
I think it's time.
Yeah.
I think that's my new thing instead of watching, you know, NXT or James Webb's telescope videos. Right.
What?
Yeah, I watch that too. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We're looking
I'm a loser.
We're looking for new planets all the time.
Have you found any?
They found a bunch, dude.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to send Tiki down this rabbit
no,
hole.
No, they found them. I mean, we can't get to them.
Have we named any of them yet?
So it's funny. I'm glad you asked that question.
Has Pluto got its status back yet or no?
No.
No, Pluto is still not a planet. So the planets in our solar system all have names, right? We all know Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Mars, etc.
Uranus.
All the planets that we discover called exoplanets, we give these weird names to, like AB 1219. It's like, what the hell is that? Why can't we give that super planet like a cool name? Like A-Rod. You know, like A-Rod. I'm just saying, like I'm looking at the
it's
A-Rod just, there.
I think it's probably easier to catalog.
To go B 1219 12?
Yeah. Because I'm sure it has a, like there's something to it. Like why, I mean, in B sector, whatever it is, it's the size of the planet relative to whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a rhyme or reason behind it.
You're going down that rabbit hole.
There goes Tiki.
He's going right in. Let's go to Kevin in Stamford, Connecticut. How you doing on this fine afternoon, Kevin?
What's going on, fellas? Oops, sorry. That's my dog.
All good.
So two questions for you, two comments for you. One is a huge Yankee fan. I think that after replay, and I know you guys were talking about Aaron Boone and should he be fired or whatever. I think the manager, to be honest with you, is obsolete because you don't need the Lou Piniella, Billy Martin, fiery, kick the bases and throw bats. What's the point? You can just go to replay. So I understand their job is to motivate players, but it's like, what's the point almost?
I think I'll just respond to that. Like, yeah, obviously the arguments are now dead other than balls and strikes. Yeah. That'll be gone too. But I think where and how managers matter is managing your bullpen. I mean, that matters.
And the lineup.
Yeah.
Right. If God's struggling, how do you get him out of whatever he's struggling with?
Yeah.
It's the Volpe thing.
It's not, see again, sometimes we need to make these blanket statements. It's not that managers don't matter at all. It's that their impact on winning is much more limited in my eyes than the impact Brian Daboll and Robert Saleh are going to have on winning.
Of course.
But bullpen decisions matter. Like we can't minimize it and say, who cares? No, it matters. Like last night, Carlos Mendoza had to make bullpen decisions. On Monday afternoon, he made a bullpen decision that everyone was pissed off about.
Yep.
He goes to a kid in his major league debut in a 2-2 game in the sixth inning.
When Christian Scott is pitching great.
Right. That matters. So, yes, managers, in my opinion, matter less than coaches in the NBA, than coaches in the NFL. I firmly believe that. And I don't know how many wins it impacts on a season. I don't know how to even calculate that. But to say blanketly they don't matter, that's not fair either. Because they do. Just how much do they?
Right.
Tough way to measure. Billy's in Merrick. How you doing, Billy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Not much. I just wanted to touch quickly on the wrestling guy, Joe Hendry.
Yeah.
He became so popular because he sang his own, you know, his own song, and it went to number one on the iTunes chart in the UK.
Really?
Is that right?
So him singing his own
he's
song.
He's like Iglesias.
All right, you know what you got to do? Can you find that song and see if it's any good?
Right.
It is incredibly good and incredibly catchy. You will sing it forever. I'm telling you, it's that good.
Is it about him? Is it a song about him?
I sang it before.
He's like talking about himself in the third person type of thing?
Correct. He's like me and Malik Nabers. Talks in the third person.
Like, is it though?
So
for example, Hard Knocks has been great. I think the Giants have done a great job. The NFL's done a great job. I think it's been amazing TV.
It's so much more interesting than the older Hard Knocks.
100%. I think they got to get rid of the older Hard Knocks. Who cares?
Like the training camp.
It's done. Who cares about training camp?
Doesn't you don't learn anything.
You learn nothing. This is everything.
Yes.
But the other reason I love Hard Knocks, even when the shows are terrible, is that music.
Mm.
Oh, my God. I'm a loser. I'm going to try something with this in a couple of days. I didn't tell you what. But just listen, this is my favorite part. It's building up right here. Hold up. Here we go. Joe Shane's picking up the phone. And he's like, I'm going to call Saquon Barkley. And I'm going to tell him what's up. And I'll be like, listen, man, we want you. We love you. But, eh. Oh, oh, oh. I'm a loser. You got to admit, that is an amazing song.
Instrumental is amazing. It is.
Oh. So now you're telling me this Joe Hendry song is as good as that?
All right, here we go. I got it right here.
Here it is.
Say his name and he appears.
And this is him singing
it. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. Cause they love him in London and Paris and Tokyo. America, Scotland and Canada and Mexico. They say, I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
What do you think? That is not bad. It is catchy. I believe in Joe Hendry.
I'm deeply offended if
I
you guys...
I believe in myself. That's what he should do say. Not, then do, nobody would know his name.
Do not bring up your AI songs.
My
do not
AI
do it.
My AI songs are better than
do
that.
Do not
no
do this.
Chance.
Yes, they are.
No chance.
You don't think my old AI songs are better than that?
No. That Come one's on. Like, it's mixed well. It's him. It's not like truncated English.
How about the one where I talked about Joel Embiid being dirty? You didn't think that was a better song than that?
No, the only one that was good was the Nate Hackett song.
Oh, you like the
That one is actually pretty good.
That's a good one.
I kind of like the Grimace, You're Our Lucky Charm. No, when it's isolated,
it was
just
never
course.
Grimace.
But that's not the point,
It
though.
Was OMG.
But it's a song. It's not about if it was Grimace
I
or not.
I don't care. It's embarrassing. Grimace, You're Grimace was lucky not the charm. Reason. Behind the scenes, it was always OMG.
Listen, man, I don't care what it is. The bottom line is the Mets have been playing well, and I like it. And we all like it. We'll get back to your phone calls, mix in some Mets as they get set for Game 2 of their series tonight against Washington, and what the Yankees need to do tonight to stop the bleeding. Plus, more of your telephone calls on the New York Football Giants, on Aaron Boone's future, and Carlos Rodon. There's a lot going on this humid, disgusting Wednesday. 888-808-1019.
Yes.
Evan and Tiki here on the Fan. So the Yankees are going to play tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. The mediocre, under 500, one struggling Tampa Bay Rays who beat the Yankees last night. And obviously, everything is going wrong with the Yankees right now. Their starting pitching is a disaster. Their bullpen isn't very good. Michael Tonkin is now human. And their offense basically scores 3 runs a game. 2-3 runs a game. And occasionally, God bless you, they'll score 14 runs. And that'll bring up their average a little bit.
Yes.
So this is a bad scene. Everything is bad right now. And Aaron Boone is trying something tonight. He's trying something. And I will tell you what it is, and you let me know if you like it or not. He's changing the lineup. Ben Rice has been leading off for a few days. In fact, hit a home run yesterday. Mm-hmm. Has performed decently in the leadoff spot at the 3-home run game on Saturday.
What's he got, 5 on the season?
Yeah, I think so. 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Ben Rice is no longer the New York Yankees leadoff hitter.
Oh.
That has ended. He is now the cleanup hitter.
Ooh.
And Alex Verdugo is now the leadoff hitter. This is the first time this season that Alex Verdugo is leading off for the New York Yankees.
Well, it's worked for Volpe for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously worked for Ben Rice, even though he didn't really need to come out of anything.
Right.
Because he was just up. And now maybe it helps Verdugo leading off.
Yeah, I'm never against a change just to try to get guys going. And clearly Alex Verdugo is one of the many names. We can make a list of guys that have struggled, that have caused this Yankee issue. Right. Alex Verdugo's season numbers now stink, right? You can look at him, the lead dog, and say, hey, he's one of the problems. He also made a big error last night kicking that ball in the first inning. So I'm not against the change, even though Ben Rice was performing well as a leadoff hitter. I just have a different change that I would try. And it's the one thing Boone hasn't done yet with this lineup this season, and that is splitting up Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Mm. I would not have done that in April. It was certainly not a suggestion when we were concocting these lineups in late March. But here we are now in the middle of July with the Yankees playing their worst baseball of the year. They are 6-17 in their last 23 games. Soto is struggling.
Yep.
Judge has cooled off a little bit, but he was only human. So I stand by the idea that my lineup tonight would just be flip-flopping Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo. I would go Soto number one. Just get on base, Juan. Just get on base. I'd go Verdugo two, where he's got these two mammoth sluggers surrounding him.
Mm-hmm.
Judge 3, Ben Rice 4. That'd be my idea. Now, Aaron Boone has been reluctant so far to split those two guys up.
Yep.
But that would be what I would try to do with this Yankee lineup as opposed to what he is doing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it might give Juan Soto the chance to feel the importance of being a leadoff guy, right? Because that's all, I mean, think about what we expected from him when he first came here. It was, you're constantly going to be on base.
Yes.
And it's either walking a ton or it's getting hits. Now, you could get frustrated because those hits or those walks sometimes come when you'd rather have a hit.
Right.
But right now, you just want Juan Soto to be Juan Soto.
Oh, no doubt.
And currently, or at least the last month, he has not been.
Well, here's what's crazy about him. I just want to give you those numbers to back up your point. He's hitting .211 in the last 28 days.
Yes.
He has hit 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, .211 batting average, not good. His on-base percentage, .429. So, and this is the thing about Juan, and it's sort of a compliment. His on-base percentage doesn't take dips when he's struggling because he's still getting on base.
Yes. But there's a Juan Soto that you'd rather see.
Oh, yeah. You'd rather him hit the ball over the fence.
Well, not even that.
Drive and run.
Yeah, just make it tedious for a pitcher. Now, he does that because he takes so many walks, and it obviously drives up the pitch count. But there's an element to Juan Soto that just feels so dynamic, and we're not seeing it a lot.
No, we aren't. And look, Juan Soto batting leadoff is a very rare thing. Juan Soto has hit leadoff twice in his major league career, and it all happened many years ago. That's it.
Two times. Holy cow.
And you know when it was? It was in 2018 once and in 2021 once. Mm. So it basically never happened, is the way I look at it.
Right. So he's a rookie and then his third year or something?
Yeah, wow. Pretty much. But that's okay. Like, I'm at the point, and this is where I was with the Mets, and it finally worked. Like, when you look back at what helped turn the Mets season around, Francisco Lindor moving to the leadoff spot, and that wasn't the first thing Mendy tried. Mendy tried numerous things. He had Pete Alonso batting second. He had Brandon Nimmo batting third. Like, there were a lot of different things he tried with that lineup before he finally settled in on the formula, which, as you know, Met fans, is Lindor, Nimmo, JD, and Pete. So I'm not against that kind of stuff until something works, and that would be my suggestion. But for tonight, it's Alex Verdugo as the leadoff hitter.
Well, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't mind
Unless Ben Rice, for some reason, starts slumping in the cleanup spot. Now.
Well, see, that's the one that
would piss you off.
The one retort would be, wait a second, it's working with Ben Rice.
I know.
So why move him around?
Well, I mean, it also, because he's hitting so well and he's got power, that I don't know if everyone expected that would be so consistent after being so young coming up here. If he's going to hit home runs or at least extra base hits, put him in a position to drive and run.
Yeah.
So it does make sense.
Now, you could look at it that way. Here were his numbers batting first. .261 average, .1200 OPS, 5 home runs, all of his home runs coming out of the leadoff spot. But he'll be batting fourth now for the first time in his major league career tonight as Marcus Stroman, the Stro Show, comes to town as the Yankees take on Tampa Bay. Jay is in East Brunswick. How you doing today, Jay?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's about time we start looking at the manager. You know, I know that, look, they have a good record, and some people laugh at that. But, you know, Aaron Boone was thrown out more than any manager last year, right? And you might think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing up for his guys. But I think he's making a lot of excuses for his team. I don't think he's a guy that's getting in someone's face. I mean, I'm not in the locker room. I don't know. But when you see poor effort, is he a coach that's going to be going up to a guy after the game and saying, what was that?
Doesn't seem that way.
Not the manager, because listen, I don't see any of that on the field.
But my question to you would be, if the Yankees pull the lever, and it's a lever that has been pulled before, the lever of, hey, this season's going bad, let's fire the manager, maybe it works. It worked for the Phillies a few years ago. It's worked in the past. The Marlins did it in 2003. There's plenty of examples. Are you content with the fact that Brad Ausmus or Luis Rojas would likely be your manager?
Yes.
Hmm. Why?
Just because it's different? By the Reds. They got embarrassed a number of times already by Boston. Where are they going? They should be sellers right now, the way they're playing.
Oh, that's
not going to happen.
You can't say that. They're 5.5 up on a playoff spot. Don't go to crazy. By the way, if you're selling, is Juan Soto available? I'm just kidding. They should not be sellers. Look, his first answer to the question of, are you content? Because I know we had fun the other day. Had a lot of fun with all the different creative ideas on who would replace Aaron Boone. Loogie mentioned Buck Showalter.
Yes.
We were mentioning Joe Girardi and Donnie Baseball and Carlos Beltran. And all those ideas are fun, and they're funny, and they're great sports talk radio fodder.
Do I think I can manage the Yankees? Sure. But yeah. He
doesn't want to take a pay cut, though.
But the reality is this. If they fired Boone, if they pull the lever of desperation, the manager of the New York Yankees is either... Hold on, let me get this out. Luis Rojas. Oh, my God. We got to get him on. We need to have a reunion, me and Luis. We had some issues back in the day. Hey, how you doing, Luis? Congratulations on your second opportunity. Do games in September matter more than April? And Brad Ausmus, who is a manager who, you know, he's managed. He hasn't been great with the Angels in Detroit. Are you guys okay with that? And our caller's response is, I'm desperate, so yes. Mm. That was basically what he said.
Because you want change for change's sake.
Yeah.
And that's not always good. I mean, maybe he's more, I don't know, excitable. Maybe he's more motivating. But if that was the case, he would be that anyways.
Yeah.
Because think about the conversation that we were having about Mindy, Carlos Mendoza, with Glaber. How he'd get on Glaber. And Glaber had a good season last year. And maybe Glaber's issue is that he lost Carlos Mendoza.
Yeah, that they didn't have that hard ass in the locker room that helps
so
in that regard.
If Ausmus was that, wouldn't he be that anyways?
Right, right.
And so clearly he's not.
No, it's literally change for the sake of change. Yes. You know, it's similar to what I said earlier, which is you got to try something.
Yeah.
When the ship is sinking, you don't just sit there.
But I also don't think that this is not a Girardi situation in Philly where it just felt toxic. They just stopped trusting him or whatever the circumstance was down in Philadelphia. And they felt desperate to make the move.
Yeah.
Right? And so they move on from him and it works out because obviously they get to the World Series. But I don't think this Yankees clubhouse is that. I don't think there's a lack of trust in Aaron Boone. Maybe there's frustration that goes both ways, but I don't think there's a lack of trust, a toxic environment.
Andy is
there's only so much I could do when Castro makes the lineup.
Okay, that's fake Aaron Boone, by the way. Andy's in New Haven. What's up, Andy?
That was not Andy in New Haven, but this is for certain. And I do want to get in quickly on the lineup, but first and foremost, you know, I had a little trouble getting on yesterday, but Evan,
yeah,
where do you get off? You were a little bit disrespectful to the state of Connecticut with your comments yesterday. Kind of just writing us off as, you know, whatever you did yesterday. And if I remember correctly, this for some reason I have this odd memory of last summer you going on the radio and parading around talking about how great the beaches were in Milford, Connecticut. You had kids there, and you had the best time, and it was so great. And I said, oh, it's not far from me. It's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's right. The beaches in Milford are great. And then I got to listen to you yesterday, you know, writing us off as God knows what.
It wasn't writing you off. That was just Samantha wanting to be identified by Andy, from Queens as opposed to Connecticut.
Tiki, Andy's right. In fact, I don't know if Tiki wants to repeat this. Sometimes I write stuff down.
Okay.
I just want to make sure, like, I get to certain things.
Yes.
5:15, it says, apologize to Connecticut. You see it right there? 5:15, apologize to Connecticut?
Apologize to Connecticut.
For an apology, I'm glad that you got ahead of it yourself. And you know what? While we're on the topic, I was particularly insulted that you didn't make take the book tour on the road to Connecticut. Andy Martino, you know, took his book. He started his book tour in Connecticut, in Madison, Connecticut. I was happy to go. We had a great conversation. I bought the book, and I bought my Mets Bible as well. I'll admit,
okay.
It would have been if you threw us a bone.
Andy, how many Mets fans are up there? What's the percentage? Is it majority Yankees? Is there some Boston? Is there some Red Sox fans up there?
Yeah, we're split about half and half, you figure, New York and Boston. And I would say of the half New York fans, it's maybe a third. You know, it's not an insignificant show.
Let me address two things, Andy, and we appreciate
Thank you, Andy.
Number one, I'm not in charge of the book tour. I'm not. So I can't even, like, apologize or take blame. That's the publishing company. Take it up with them. But let me address the state of Connecticut. Because, again, I wrote this down. I would like to take this time on today's show at 5:15 p.m. Eastern time to apologize to the state of Connecticut.
It's 4:48, but whatever.
Because I wrote down 5:15. He called up early.
Go ahead.
All right? And you see, right? It's written right there, right, Tiki?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'd like to take this time to apologize to the state of Connecticut. I made comments on the radio yesterday, Tuesday, July 9th, that was unbecoming of me and my true feelings of Connecticut. What happened was I was trying to defend Queens. I love Queens. I lived in Queens for many years. I've had many great experiences in the borough of Queens, and in my attempt to stand up for Queens, I took unnecessary shots at the state of Connecticut. Watch this part. Last summer, as some may recall, Andy does, I went to Milford and was stunned that Connecticut had beaches. I'm a baby. I assumed all...
It is on the ocean.
I assumed... Wait for it. I assumed all beaches in Connecticut were disgusting and smelled. Who would actually want to swim in the Long Island Sound? I know. Who know? So I went there and had a great experience. I love Connecticut. I love the beaches. And I am sorry for the comments that I made. So there you go.
Yeah. Well said, Evan. Well said.
I did say that yesterday, but it was heat of the moment.
I hope the Connecticut residents will accept your apology.
I hope they do, too. I love Connecticut.
I do believe it was sincere.
Thank you. I love Connecticut. I want to go back to those Milford beaches. I've had a lot of good experiences in Connecticut. You know what's in Connecticut?
What's that?
The headquarters of WWE.
Ah, that's right.
True story. How about that?
Have you ever been?
No.
Come on.
Why would I go there?
I don't know.
Think it's I work for the WWE? Think I'm like an employee or something? I'm just an idiot who likes it, who like watches it.
Do they not give tours?
I don't think so. Do they give tours of WWE?
I mean, they should. It's WWE.
I think they actually moved across the street. They have a bigger facility now. So what they should do is create a Hall of Fame. Like, they should have an actual Hall of Fame, and I would go to that.
Good point. I think a lot of people would go to that.
I agree.
Do they have? They have one.
They have a figurative WWE Hall of Fame. They don't have a building.
But there's no building?
No, no bricks and mortar. Let's go to Tom in Bayside. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Evan.
Yo.
What's up?
Hey, man, I had to call you, dude. I'm on the line. I'm on line last night at Citi Field. The lines were like Six Flags Great Adventure. It was out of control. I'm telling people on the line, I'm calling Evan tomorrow. the fan experience, the Mets fan experience yesterday, I almost just walked out. I was there with my five-year-old son.
Yeah.
I bring him all the time, and he wanted a hot dog, right? That's his right to have a hot dog at a Met game, okay? And we could not get him a hot dog. There was no one walking around selling hot dogs. The only place to get a hot dog was to wait on a 30 to 40-minute line.
Oh.
The kid's going hungry. I had to skip over the hot dog. I had to go straight to the ice cream. The first line of all the ice cream, the ice cream thing broke. So we go to the next one. That line was another 30 minutes. I walked out. I missed 4.5
okay.
minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I got one. I appreciate you calling in. One question before we rip the Mets. Did you notice that any concession stands were closed, or was it just there was an influx of people and you didn't notice any concessions closed that maybe made the lines longer?
So what people were telling me was that there was a $5 draft beer deal. Yeah. Going
no, no.
On
by the way,
hot dog.
Yeah,
going
It's called five. I was going to bring this up. It's $5 Tuesdays. It's $5 Coors Lights, $5 fountain soda, $5 bottles of water, which is expensive. $5 Nathan hot dogs, $5 pretzel, $5 popcorn. So it's a $5 Tuesday. Last night was the debut, and I do think that contributed to the lines. But work all concession stands open, because if the answer is no, the Mets got to clean that mess up. But I can't say they were closed. Did you notice any closed?
From what I noticed, they were open.
Okay.
My only gripe was, I don't think a five-year-old who wants a hot dog should have to battle against the grown adults trying to get their their double fist or $5 beers. Which
I
God
agree.
Bless them.
I agree.
But
I agree with you.
You should be able to walk into a stadium and not have to burn 4.5 innings trying to find a hot dog.
I agree with you. And that's why I'm glad you brought
especially
it up.
Especially pitch clock innings these days.
That's right.
Quick.
Games are quick.
All right.
All right, so let's address this. The New York Mets last night, and I even tweeted out a picture, and I had a conversation on the recall about this, had a surprisingly big crowd. They announced 31,000 people. I got to tell you, it felt like there were more.
Huh.
It felt like it was a very, very big crowd. So I was talking to my pal, Dennis, who's getting a lot of airtime today, and I said, is it that the Mets are playing well? That's box number one.
Yep.
Is it that they gave away, this is so up your alley, a Mets soccer t-shirt? Jersey.
What was the jersey?
It was a soccer-themed Mets jersey.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
Maybe.
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 Maybe. Or was it $5 Tuesday?
I honestly think it's a common. It's a cop-out, but it was a combination.
I agree with you.
Because soccer is a big sport, obviously. Yeah. Everybody pays attention to it right now. And it's a giveaway. And
absolutely.
It's free. And you can get everything that you normally going to pay, I don't know, $40 for. You get it for $25.
So here's the conclusion I'm going to come to, because I'm going to listen.
And they're good right now.
And they're playing well. Right. Absolutely. I do not believe that the Mets had places closed last night. Now, if they did have concessions closed last night, let us know and we'll rip them. I don't think they did. I don't. I'm going to give the Mets credit. What I think happened was so many people wanted to take advantage of $5 Tuesdays. And because of that, there were more people getting concessions than normal.
Yes.
That sucks. Now, if you're the New York Mets, you got to do something about it. And the answer is you got to have more people ready to go. And you've got to find a way. Maybe it's more vendors. Maybe it's just more lines open.
Right.
You have to find a way.
The walk-around vendors, you mean.
Yeah. To not let the experience suck like our last caller had. Because that's terrible. And look, the Mets just have to learn from it. That was the inaugural $5 Tuesday. That's the first time they've done it all year.
So now they know.
Now they know.
Or should
fix
know.
It.
Right.
Fix it. That call should never happen again. So to Steve Cohen listening and to everyone with the New York Mets, listen, man, no harm, no foul. I'll even say that for the caller. Like, it was the first time you were doing it. You were probably surprised how hungry people were and how much they wanted to take advantage of a $5 hot dog. But I think what you've got to do is you got to make sure that lines cannot be like that. It is not fair to the customer, especially when games are shorter and it's hot outside and his five-year-old just wants a dog, man.
I agree, Evan. Tom seemed like a nice fella, great Met fan. His five-year-old was starving. If only, there was a half-eaten pastrami sandwich that a rich guy like a chooch walked out of there. It could have been a Joe Green moment. Toss him to Sandy.
If I walked over to a father and son, all right, think about how much of a creep I am. I walked over to a father and son and said, hey, I couldn't finish my sandwich.
Clothes all wrinkled.
I had half of it. There's mustard on my shorts.
Looking disheveled.
Right.
But I ate half the sandwich. But you know what?
They would run away from you. They'd be scared of you.
Yes!
And then they'd say, my kid wanted a hot dog. Right. Chill out.
So, Loogie, I appreciate it. But how could you honestly think that's a good idea?
Because you say, hi, I'm Evan Roberts. He knows who you are. At least he knows your voice. Buy my Mets Bible. Here you go, kid. You have a fan for life.
By giving him a half-eaten sandwich?
Absolutely.
And a copy of my Mets Bible.
Well, I don't walk around
with that. You can order that on Amazon, by the way.
And
if you don't want to read, there's an audiobook.
There is an audiobook. Voiced by Evan. That's right. But it was $5 Tuesday last night, so the Mets just have to clean up their act. Right. You know what I think is going to be really interesting?
What's that?
What their attendance is tonight. No soccer jersey, no $5 Tuesday, same opponent, similar weather. They had 31 last night. What do they have tonight?
30.
Same crowd. Okay.
It's beautiful out there.
Loogie?
33.
Beautiful for baseball.
Bigger crowd?
Bigger crowd.
Right.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 25.
Are they doing any kind of giveaway? I know you said no soccer jersey.
Zero giveaway.
People are taking Thursday and Friday off.
Okay.
It's the summer.
Fair enough. We'll see if you're right. So Tiki's saying same crowd. Loogie's saying bigger crowd. I'm gonna say smaller. I'm gonna up my number a little bit because I think 25 is a little disrespectful. I'm gonna go with 27. So I think there'll be about a 4,000 decrease from the previous evening. We got a Cinco coming up. Plus, we'll check in on that Met lineup and take more of your calls. Met fans, Yankee fans, a lot of Giants today as well. 888-808-1019.